Chicago is our inspiration for Chicago History and Automotive Heaven radio show at WGCO 1590 AM. Richie Z tells about Chicago's men and women that made a difference. Chicago is the birthplace of the Industrial Revolution, inventors, manufacturers, and a transportation hub in America. First automobile race in America, 1895. First Chicago Auto Show, 1905. If you have an automotive glitch, call Rich, 847-475-1590. Become a sponsor of the show or join in the fun with Richie Z with Chicago Tours, TV and radio show podcasts at www.richiezie.com. Call me direct at 312-841-2560. Good afternoon, everybody. It's Richie Z, and boy, do we have an interesting show for you today. Before I get started, I just want to say something. When you have a good heart, you help too much. You trust too much. You give too much. You love too much. And it always seems like you're the one that gets hurt too much. God, may you bless them for the users. For they know not what they do. Caller number three. We're going to give away some stuff here. Caller number three today. You have a choice of two tickets to the Auburn Court and Duesenberg Museum in Auburn, Indiana. The Hudson Museum in Shipshana, Indiana. The Chevrolet Museum in Decatur, Illinois. Or a 20% discount to Studio One Tattoo Parlor on 18th Street in Chicago. You know, I found something in the news I just want to touch on briefly today. It's kind of a sad day. A comedian that really became famous because of Chicago. Folks, Chicago history. I ran into this story, oh gosh, probably 10 years ago. But Dick Gregory actually passed away. He was a comedian. And when I was growing up, I remember people like him. I mean, the ultimate guys, Richard Pryor was a favorite of everybody's. Alan King was one of my favorites, but Dick Gregory was up there. But the cool story, the Chicago part to this, Dick Gregory got his start in Chicago, and the person that gave him a huge break was Hugh Hefner at the Playboy Club. He was able to perform there. There was a television show he had. It was called After Dark from the Playboy Mansion. So the bells toll for Dick Gregory made people laugh for many, many years. Sorry to see him go. You know, let's get started with today's show because we have a lot of things to cover. Right off the bat, we're going to do a program about Route 66. Basically, though, we're going to only do Illinois. I have John Weiss on the phone. John, are you there?
I am here, Richie.
Okay, John. Now, I got to say this before we even get started. Folks, I've been a tour guide for many years, and I've been doing history for many years. There isn't many people that I would advise you to go and take a tour with. But this gentleman I have here today, John Weiss, is on the top of my list. And, John, I got to tell you a few things. I've learned from your style of tours.
Well, that's nice that you're complimenting me like that. I'm anxious to hear what it is that interested you.
You know, you want to hear it?
Yes, I do.
I'm going to tell you straight out. You're a cool guy that just talks to the people. You don't try to be above everybody talking to, well, this, here on Route 66. You don't do any of that. You just talk to people. You're just a regular guy.
Yeah, that's who I am.
And the stories come through so well. In fact, we're going to cover a bunch of things today, you and I. But you have a book out, As the Story Goes. So we're going to do a huge segment on our show today. You know, let's get right down to the beginning. Route 66 was never built, right?
Well, yeah, you know, that's one way of looking at it. I mean, it was never built. And if people think the way we build roads now, and it's hard to comprehend that that's not how it was before. You know, back in, Route 66 began in 1926. But if we go back just a few years to 1905, it says that there were 100,000 miles of road, but only 26 miles were paved. Think about that. So what we needed in Illinois was a paved road. And Illinois was the first one of all the states to California that found a way of doing it. And what they did, they, you're right, they created it. They every town, basically, the main street was paved with one form of or another. But the main thing, it wasn't dirt and mud. And what they needed to do then was attach all these different pieces. This, of course, caused a lot of hairpin turns and curves and everything to make one attached to another. And that's why Route 66 was actually known as Bloody 66 in the beginning, because of all these curves and turns. However, it was remarkable. They ended up with 300 miles of paved road from Chicago to St. Louis. Isn't that remarkable?
You know, what they basically did, I love, you know, what you're saying, but what they basically did, folks, was just connect the paved, they made roads in between the cities that were already paved.
That's right. I mean, that's what they had to do. In some places, there was only one-lane road. There was so few cars at that time that they could actually do that. If you ran across somebody, kind of squeezed past each other. But anything to get it paved, or they called it the hard road then.
You know, I want to mention a few names that Route 66 went by. It went by Route 66. It went by U.S. 66. It went by the Will Rogers Highway, Main Street USA, and the Mother Road. Can you give us a... I want to know where they came up with the Will Rogers Highway.
Well, Will Rogers Highway, to my knowledge, just because Will Rogers is from Oklahoma, and that's really where they call it, the Will Rogers Highway, in Oklahoma. But the Mother Road, that's kind of interesting, because that was in the book, The Grapes of Wrath. And he called, you know, that was all about going to California for new life, new hope, and so on, during the Dust Bowl. And he called that road that you took, Route 66, the Mother Road. And that's where that came from.
You know, I want you to give out some information. Now, you've written a number of books, and you have tours and all of that. How can people find out about you? And we're going to give this out, folks, a number of times in today's show. One thing I'm very poor about, and that is talking about my podcast. My engineer here at the station, the Mighty Quinn, every week by Monday night, he gets my shows posted into my podcast site at richieze.com. That's RichieZie. Thank you, Quinn. But it's on there, so if you miss anything or if you miss the show, you know, you can always tune in there and hear the show in its entirety, but you can also go back and find out about things. So, John, give me some information about yourself, and then we'll get into some more stuff.
Well, yeah, just briefly, without going into too much, but I have written three different books pertaining to what we're talking about today, about Route 66. And one of them is the guidebook of Route 66. And it's the traveling the new historic Route 66 of Illinois, but it's the only guidebook of Route 66 exclusively, with every nook and cranny that there is. And you know something interesting about 66 in Illinois? Every one of our attractions, every one of them, is free. Now, where else can you find that? So my book will take you to every one of these places. I know the road by like the back of my hand, and people need the book. Sometimes they think I'm trying to sell a book. No, I'm trying to give them information that will make them enjoy themselves that much more. And then the other book I've got is one of them that you just mentioned. It's called As the Story Goes. You know, I've been doing this for 29 years now or something like that, and throughout the years, I'd pick up stories, and a lot of times if something's kind of interesting, I'd scribble it down on a piece of paper, and I threw it in a shoebox. After a while, that shoebox got kind of full. So I decided that these stories are pretty good and that I should do something about them, and I put a little book together. And, you know, it's one of the things about it is that throughout the years, maybe some of the stories have gotten flavored. So I call it As the Story Goes. In other words, I wrote the stories as I heard them. I didn't try and research it. Oh, this is right, that's wrong. It's more fun after it's been flavored a bit. But there's always an element of truth to every one of the stories. And that's what makes it so interesting. And it's a very simple roadie book because it's got like 90 short stories that I've gotten there. And then I've got another third one, though, that's kind of interesting that we put together called the Triangle Tour. What that is that you take the point of a triangle. Think of it. You got the Art Institute, Chicago Heights, and Joliet. And I've set up a way in which you can travel on Route 66, Lincoln Highway, Dixie Highway, all three, going from one point or the other. As soon as you can start at any one point of the triangle, travel 110 miles, you're right back where you started from, and you'll have done three historic highways. I think that's pretty cool.
Information on how they can get one of these books or take one of your... You're still doing tours, correct?
Yes, I don't organize tours myself. I'm, shall we say, hired as a hop-on guide, and that's how I do it. So in other words, I will arrange tours for park districts and banks and things like that. And I tell them the only thing that they have to do is hire the bus and fill it, and I do the rest of it. And
so how did they get a hold of you? How did they...
I'll give you a phone number, and I got a website, too. So the phone number, I'm sure does everybody's got their pencils ready, right?
Yes, sir.
Okay, phone number, 815-458-6616.
Website.
And the website is www.authority.com.
Number of years ago, you and I did a couple of shows together, and they're on my podcast site still, and I still get comments to this very day, and it's been a number of years since we did it. But you uncovered something or brought me the information that day. I still have it. I have it in my hand right now. What was the original name of Michigan Avenue?
Well, I don't have that information, but all I know it was Automobile Road, something like that, because of all the automobile dealers that were on Michigan Avenue.
Wasn't it called Dixie Highway, though?
Well, no. See, you got a little bit mixed up there.
Okay.
Dixie Highway and Route 66 both start basically at the Art Institute.
That's what I'm after. And and on October 11th, you gave me this piece of paper back.
Okay.
October 11th, 1915, they named it Michigan Avenue, correct?
That could be the date. I don't know that for sure about the Michigan Avenue part, but Dixie Highway started in, 1913, something like that. I don't know for sure.
Okay.
But I don't have that information for me, but we had... Remember, I just said you can take the Dixie Highway, Lincoln Highway, and 66. Well, both start at the Art Institute. And I'm just kind of curious myself. You got me going on there, the exact date of the Dixie Highway.
You gave me this paper back a number of years ago when we did that show, and it says October 11, 1915 was when they named it Michigan Avenue.
Well, I don't have that part of it, but I do have it in front of me now. October 9th, 1915 was the dedication of the Dixie Highway in front of the Art Institute.
Correct. Cool. And, that's cool.
One went basically north and south, and the other one went, of course, to California. And that all kind of ties in with the Lincoln Highway. And that's how I came up with that triangle tour, how you're able to do it. You're able to do all three roads. Essentially from the Art Institute.
Give us just a kind of a what your favorite locations on Route 66 there are.
Wow. We're just starting in Illinois, you know. Let's go back and get a little trivia first. And we have about 60% of all the travelers on 66 are coming from other countries. They want to see Americana. And they've got it in their image, stuff from the old TV show and stuff, out west and driving in their Corvette. And they don't put a lot of emphasis on Illinois, and yet Illinois has tons of stuff to see. It would take at least 3 days to do the 300 miles of 66 in Illinois. And some of the stops can take a half a day itself. For example, the town of Pontiac. It's unbelievable. To me, personally, that's one of the best towns in all of 66. They have the Route 66 Museum with 1,000 artifacts in there, and you've got the Bob Waldmeyer bus and VW over the in the 1940s display, the Pontiac Oakland Museum, and I could go on and on. There is so much to see and do, and I repeat, everything is free. Pontiac has got to be the number one stop. That doesn't mean you shouldn't stop at all the rest of them. That's why they need my book and find all these little nooks and crannies and things like traveling across the Chain of Rocks Bridge and little drug stores that have been there for over 100 years and still operating, Frank Lloyd Wright Bank, our old gas stations we've restored. I could just go on and on. I mean, one of the things that I do as a hobby is I'm the chairman of the preservation committee, so we do a lot of preservation projects. That's what makes me so aware of all the stuff that's out there. And I'm blessed to have hundreds of volunteers. When I need something, I can make a phone call, and they just hop right to it. And any one of them makes it a great day trip. So my own book, I wrote it down in 13 chapters so a person can basically go down I-55 and do a section and come back home for the day. Next time, down 55, get off again, get on 66 and do another section or two. What a wonderful way to spend a day.
John, I need you to stick around. We're going to do a short break here. We need to help pay for this thing. And if you want to be a sponsor of our show, you can call me direct at 312-841-2560. We're looking for sponsors to sponsor segments like this, shows like this, or even become a regular sponsor.
Richie Z's
Chicago History and Automotive Heaven.
Chicago History and Automotive Heaven television and radio show will introduce a personal message for and around your business, product, or service. You can be confident that the right message will get delivered to potential customers in need of your business, product, or service. No one works harder than we do. Get an edge over the same old competition. The buck starts with us. Join a winning team. We understand the direct impact needed for your business, product, or service to increase your bottom line. Call 312-450-2750. Email me at rautomd@gmail.com. Check us out at my website at www.richiezie.com. Check me out at Facebook at richiezie.com. Become a friend on Facebook. That's richiezie.com. Studio One Tattoo on 18th Street, 1010 West 18th Street, Chicago, Illinois, 312-226-4220. Tattoos have been around since the beginning of time. The tattoo artists at Studio One are true artists working to make your tattoo a piece of art. So get your next tattoo where I got mine. Studio One Tattoo on 18th Street, 312-226-4220. Two Chefs Cafe and Catering, 3 South Center Street, Bensonville, Illinois. Call 630-766-6030. Quality food, cozy atmosphere. Let us cater your next event. Weddings, birthday parties, anniversaries, showers, funeral luncheons. We can accommodate from 10 to 150 people in our elegant establishment. Call 630-766-6030. A number one, Chicago Tours. Chicago is our inspiration. Special private tours in our limo buses. We pick up your group and bring them back. Tours with Richie Z at 312-841-2560. Join in the fun of Chicago tours like Magnificent Mile, stunning architecture, Chicago historic churches, night lights, and water tower. Book Richie Z, call 312-841-2560.
For me, it was the big S-Class from the 90s. Beautiful. My friend's dad had one.
The SL. All of the SLs. I've been watching those since I was a kid.
I think the 1971 SE was the first Mercedes that just blew me away.
Everyone wants the original, the authentic. And with a certified pre-owned Mercedes-Benz, you can experience the iconic luxury, unparalleled safety, and performance of Mercedes-Benz at a price you can afford. But just remember, only your authorized Mercedes-Benz dealer has the skilled technicians to certify that your pre-owned vehicle is up to Mercedes-Benz standards. And only your authorized Mercedes-Benz dealer offers an unlimited mileage warranty, so you can drive with confidence as far as you'd like for up to 5 years. There are pre-owned vehicles, and then there are Mercedes-Benz certified pre-owned vehicles. Visit the certified pre-owned sales event going on now through August 31st and receive 2 years of complimentary prepaid maintenance and special financing available through Mercedes-Benz Financial Services. Only at your authorized Mercedes-Benz dealer.
See your authorized Mercedes-Benz dealer for complete details and limitations on certified pre-owned warranties.
On the road again. I just can't wait to get on the road again. The life I love is making music with my friends. And I can't wait to get on the road again. On the road again. Going places that I've never been. Seeing things that I may never see again. Can't wait to get on the road again. Everybody say, on the road again. Like the band of gypsies, we go down the highway. We're the best of friends. It's a sin that the world keeps turning our way.
We are. We're on the road again. You know what? I gave out the information for those tickets to give away, and I'm really poor at this, folks. I just wrote it down on my notes. Call 847-475-1590 to win two free tickets to the Auburn Cordon Duesenberg Museum or the Hudson Museum, the Chevrolet Museum, or 20% off of a tattoo at Studio One on 18th Street in Chicago. So that number again is 847-475-1590. Caller number five gets two tickets to that. So we did that. John, are you still there?
I am still here, Richie.
You want to cover any other cool things that people, must that they have to see in Illinois' Route 66. Now, we're covering just Illinois. I want to let the people know.
Right. You know, we're doing just Illinois. And, you know, here's what people don't seem to understand about any kind of on the road again stuff, just like your song was saying. It isn't the road. The road is simply the connection between the towns. And the towns, they have the places. And the places have the people. And so if you stop and smell the roses, you might say, and stop at every little place and talk to the people and see what's important in their community, and every town has got something they're proud of, then you're really doing Route 66. Then you're truly enjoying it. You know, a lot of times people ask, what's this magic about Route 66? Well, it isn't an old restored gas station, and it isn't a fancy town, and it isn't a statue or anything. In reality, to be truly experienced and appreciated, you have to kind of realize that it was a road that provided jobs, homes, and opportunities. I mean, it was a commercial road. It was a place where people of the past daily depended on 66 to raise their families, prosper, and grow. Now, that's the old 66, and that's what it was. But they've got a mystique about it now. And so the unique thing about it is that you could still get on this road. You can get on Route 66. And I tell people, if you close your eyes, if you let your imagination wander a little bit, you can virtually step back in time. And that is the magic of 66. So it doesn't matter where you go, as long as you just understand why you're there, what you're looking for, and it is a magical moment to get on there. No other road seems to be able to do what Route 66 can do.
Man, every time I talk to you, I haven't done a tour with you yet. I every time I talk to you, though, I definitely want to put something together or join you in one of your tours and just...
I'm going to stop you right there. Maybe we can even tell people over there. There's a nice museum in Joliet. There's a Route 66 Visitor Center and the Joliet Historical Museum. And they are going to do one of my tours on October 17th. And it's open to the public, anybody that wants to do it, October 17th, Joliet Historical Museum.
So, I'm going to find out about that. You and I are going to touch base on that because I'm definitely going to bring some people and do that.
Some people like you can really appreciate these little things. When you look out the window, you've got to know what you're looking for. And I think that's what makes it so interesting. I think we have a society that's a little bit too much orientated to big splash, big entertainment things, instead of the little simple things, the simple treasures, those simple pleasures. That's what's so interesting about it. And then it's interesting the way that so many people come from halfway around the world to see what we have right in our own back door. It's, they research this, and they want to see Americana. Well, what's wrong with Americans seeing Americana too and experiencing it, living it? I think it's just wonderful.
You know, one of the things that I told you I learned from you, and that is that being simple. You know, keep it simple.
Yes, absolutely.
You know, you're like, I'm like you. I'm not going to even say you're like me because you're a master. I'm a student. But when I do my tours, there's many a times that I've, especially at night in city of Chicago. If you think Chicago is beautiful, which it is, it's spectacular at night. There's been times where I was just tired and I'm on the bus and one thing led to another. And I would just say, folks, I'm tired. I'm going to sit down and tell you a story, which you enjoy doing. I kind of learned that from you. And I'm going to let you take in the beauty of the city because everybody will see something different. One will be attracted to the hotel over here. Another one will be attracted to the Disney store, the water tower, the horse and buggy, you know. So you let the people enjoy what they like, what they're seeing, what attracts them. And then every so often when you got something that you need to tell them about, you just kind of interject with that.
Well, I agree with that completely. You know, our job, the things that we do to entertain people is to plant a seed. Watch that seed grow in their mind. No, we can't. No one place is going to please everybody. So we've got to say, well, there's this and there's that. And eventually, everybody's going to find the one thing that they found so super interesting. So, yeah, you're absolutely right in saying that. It's just, there's so many things in Chicago with millions of people or some little town with only 600 people. It's a wonderful world out there, and we invite everybody to be part of it.
You know, the people need an avenue to cleanse their minds and go and enjoy something. And then having a person like you narrating what they're going through, it just puts the icing on the cake. It's just a spectacular, you know. Let's get into, I want to get into what some of the inventions were, and you know what? I want to start out with food. What was invented on Illinois Route 66?
Hey, you know, when you get into food, you're into my category now. But yeah, you know, there was several very interesting things that happened on 66 in the town of Joliet. Since I just mentioned that, that's where the first Dairy Queen was at, 501 Chicago Street. Chicago Street was Route 66 at the time. And if any of your listeners are familiar with the Rialto Theater, it's just down the road from the Rialto Theater. But yeah, that was the first Dairy Queen. And then the hot dog on a stick, the corn dog, was invented in Springfield. They call it the cozy dog, and that's still there. You can go get the original corn dog. And you don't go in there and call it a corn dog. You go in there and call it a cozy dog. And also the first Steak and Shake was opened up over in Bloomington. That building's still there, although they have moved out of it. And of course, everybody knows where Steak and Shake is at. All those three things started on 66, and then just off of 66, there's a Maid-Rite in Springfield, Illinois, that they advertise as the first drive-up window in the country. And I don't know if it is or not, but that's what they advertise. So if somebody proves them wrong, that's the way it's going to be. So those are kind of interesting things. And, of course, you've got to go stop at each one of them and have some of that. But, you know, one of the things in Springfield that they invented there, and almost every restaurant has, is a horseshoe sandwich. Have you personally ever heard of a horseshoe sandwich?
No.
You got to go have one. Most of the restaurants have it, and they've kind of taken a lot of liberties with it throughout the first part. I don't remember exactly how it goes, but the horseshoe sandwich first was invented just by having a piece of toast, and then they took a slice of ham. And if you take a slice of ham off of a with a bone in it, it gets a U shape. That's the horseshoe fix. So the bread becomes the hoof, the ham becomes the horse, becomes the shoe, and then they cover it with the French fries. That becomes the nails. So you have the nails, and you have the horseshoe, and you have the hoof, and then you cover it, smear it with all kinds of cheese sauce, and everybody's got their different cheese sauce. I mean, it's a heart attack on a plate. But what a way to go, you know. And what they also have is they're so big and so much. Most places have what they call a pony, So you can get a horseshoe, which is a big one, or you get the pony shoe, which is only half an order. And that's all I can ever finish. But you go to Springfield, you got to have a horseshoe sandwich.
Hey, you know what? We can't go further. When it comes to food, we have to touch on the stuff as close to Chicago as possible. Tell me about Delray's Chicken. In fact, folks, the show that John and I did a number of years ago that are on my site, richiez.com, we actually recorded at Delray's Chicken. Tell us the history of that one, because that's spectacular.
Well, you know, it started in, I think, 1946. And Delray was the father, the son, Pat. Pat Ray still runs it as it was, and virtually everybody tries to go there that are doing 66. Unfortunately, they don't have breakfast. They have a wonderful buffet during the week, and just the atmosphere is great. I'm over there quite often. So everybody should go to the Delray's Chicken Basket just because it exists. It is true Route 66. And also down the road from there, we also have the White Fence Farm, and that's another Route 66 iconic place. And that's, both of them are just right outside Chicago. That's just a wonderful place. But, yeah, Chicken Basket, highly recommended.
Okay. You know what?
I got their phone number here.
You do?
Yeah, I do.
Go ahead.
How about that? I got that. You know what I got, Richie? I got it right out of my book. So, Delray's Chicken Basket. Not only do we have the directions, but the phone number is 630-325-0780. And they can tell you when the hours are, and they're just great people, and everybody that works there, they have the right attitude, and of course the food is outstanding.
And in my notes, I have the location, the address. I think we're working great together.
I think we're going to get people to load it up over
it's
there.
It's 645 Joliet Road. It's the old U.S. Route 66 in Willowbrook, Illinois. Folks, it's just off of I-55. So it's a short little trip out of Chicago on the Stevenson Expressway, Route 55. So it's worth the drive, folks. It's the chicken is spectacular, and so is the buffet that they have.
Yeah, I think you get off 55 at about 83, I believe, is what you get over there. And
it's in the back, so you got to have your GPS. That's why I gave out the address.
Right. Yeah. There's signs over there off 55 and stuff. You know how they have the restaurant signs, and that goes to show you how good a place like that is. Because when they put it on I-55, they virtually cut off 66 over there and abandoned that whole section in there. And yet people find it. They wait in line sometimes to get into this place, and when they can go out of their way to find it, you know there's something there worthwhile to go see.
It's an industrial park now, basically, folks.
Yes, essentially, yeah. The frontage road on the north side of 55 of that general area is 66.
You know what, John? I want to cut to another break and have you come back, and then we're going to get into your stories.
Okay.
And I want to hear some stories by the famous storyteller, John Weiss, the historian from Route 66 in Illinois.
Chicago History in Automotive Heaven.
With Richie Z.
Chicago History and Automotive Heaven television and radio show will introduce a personal message for and around your business, product, or service. You can be confident that the right message will get delivered to potential customers in need of your business, product, or service. No one works harder than we do. Get an edge over the same old competition. The buck starts with us. Join a winning team. We understand the direct impact needed for your business, product, or service to increase your bottom line. Call 312-450-2750. Email me at rautomd@gmail.com. Check us out at my website at www.richiezie.com. Check me out at Facebook at richiez.com. Become a friend on Facebook. That's richiez.com. Studio One Tattoo on 18th Street, 1010 West 18th Street, Chicago, Illinois, 312-226-4220. Tattoos have been around since the beginning of time. The tattoo artists at Studio One are true artists working to make your tattoo a piece of art. So get your next tattoo where I got mine. Studio 1 Care 2 on 18th Street, 312-226-4220. Two Chefs Cafe and Catering, 3 South Center Street, Bensonville, Illinois. Call 630-766-6030. Quality food, cozy atmosphere. Let us cater your next event. Weddings, birthday parties, anniversaries, showers, funeral luncheons. We can accommodate from 10 to 150 people in our elegant establishment. Call 630-766-6030. A number one, Chicago Tours. Chicago is our inspiration. Special private tours in our limo buses. We pick up your group and bring them back. Tours with Richie Z at 312-841-2560. Join in the fun of Chicago tours like Magnificent Mile, stunning architecture, Chicago historic churches, night lights, and water tower. Book Richie Z, call 312-841-2560.
This is Your Talk.
One of the few true originals of our time.
On 1590 WCGO, Evanston, Chicago.
Going to Kansas City, Kansas City, here I come. I'm going to Kansas City, Kansas City, here I come. They got some crazy little women there, and I'm gonna get me one. Stand on the corner, 12th Street and Bond. I'm gonna be stand on the corner, 12th Street and Bond.
Welcome back, everybody. You know what? I'm feeling real generous today. We've gotten a caller that won some tickets. In fact, he took the tickets to the Hudson Museum, which is a real cool place, the history of Hudson's. The guy was... He's a vintage gentleman after my own heart, so he remembered the Hudson and all of that. But I'm going to give away two more tickets to either the Auburn Court and Duesenberg Museum, Hudson Museum, Chevrolet Museum, or a 20% discount to Studio One Tattoo Parlor. Give us a call. The first caller at 847-475-1590. John, I'm back to you, and I want to get right into this. You sent me this book a few weeks ago, and I started highlighting stuff. I think I wrecked the book, but it's you signed it, and I gave it a little flavor of my own. But as the story goes, is the book that John has. You know, I can add, and I'm going to add some of the things that I know to your stories. Let's get started with barbecue.
Okay. You know, that's the story in Gardner, I assume, that you're talking about.
Yeah, with the side of beef.
Yeah, you know, during the Depression, this is the way I heard the story, that's the way I tell the story. During the Depression, meat, I guess, was kind of hard to come by. In the small little town of Gardner, one of the farmers says, hey, I can provide a half a side of beef. And maybe we could have a big picnic in town. And they thought this was a pretty good idea. And this town also had an old 1906 two-cell jail just sitting there. No real desperados ever were in there. But so they're going to have this picnic all around the jail. They said, well, wait a minute. How are we going to cook a big side of beef? Well, that's simple enough. Just take the doors off the jail and use them as a grill. And that's what they did. Not that so cool, the ingenuity of it. And I think that's just absolutely wonderful.
You know what's cool? Years ago, people were creative. They had a mind. They could figure things out. They could do things. Today, if you took away the smartphone, people wouldn't know what to do because all the information they ever need or get is from a smartphone. It's not from using your mind.
You know, that's what I mean about going on the road and talking to the people and seeing the little sights in every town. You can't just do it in your living room on the phone. Oh, you can, but you're not going to find the enjoyment of feeling it, tasting it, touching it, seeing it. That's what you've got to do. And there's a magic to being there, standing where other people stood 100 years ago, 50 years ago, where your parents stood, your grandparents stood. This is the
You know, I want to get into the next a character, a Chicago character that I was asked about. This character, more people asked about this character than any other character in Chicago. And I didn't do it because why do negative stuff, which the character was, when you could do positive stuff in downtown Chicago? The character I'm talking about is Al Capone, and I'm going to add a few things to the story, but I'm going to let you roll with what you know about Al Capone.
Well, I don't really know a whole lot about him other than the fact he used to come to the Riviera Roadhouse with his brother Ralph, and they used to do that. And I know that when he was in the Cicero area, that he used to provide, on the 4th of July, $100 to each one of the fireworks vendors. They were scattered all over Cicero. And he would instruct those vendors to supply all the local kids with all the fireworks that they wanted. But I also heard from the same person who told me that story. He said Al had another little rule. He said it was that you should never whistle at a pretty girl. Mr. Capone felt it was disrespectful, and it was very foolish to disobey Big Al's rules. So that's the little bit I know, and I know about he would pay $30 rent and maybe give an extra $20 and say don't gamble it away, things like that. But those were the locals that they have got nice stories to tell. I'm sure, of course, there's the dark side, but there's also a good side to some of these things.
You know, I'm going to add something to you. And again, rumor has it. That's what I always say. You know, you've got it as the story goes. I always say rumor has it where you can't put your fingers on it. But from good sources, I found out that when he went to jail for tax evasion, the reason was we were going to have, this was 1931, was after the St. Valentine's Day Massacre. The reason that the federal government went after him was because we were having the 1933 and 34 World's Fair, our Century of Progress, our 100-year anniversary, on the lakefront. And the very wealthy people that were funding that went to the President of the United States and said, you got to get this guy out of here because we're afraid people won't attend because of Al Capone and the massacre and all this other stuff. So that's when they sent the G to Chicago, Elliot Ness. You know, they made movies and everything else about it. But that's when they got him on the tax evasion, and they worked him through the court system and got him, you know, prison time and got him out of Chicago because of that factor. So that's another one of these Al Capone stories. And then I live in Little Italy. In fact, this weekend, folks, there's a Italian fest you still got today if you want to get over there. It's on Taylor Street from Racine all the way to Ashland Avenue. It's jam-packed, a lot of entertainment, a lot of Italian food. But I live in that area, and I've been able to talk to a number of people. During the Depression, when people were losing their homes, they lost their jobs and all this other stuff, in the neighborhood, if he found out, like, certain people had issues with, you know, paying their mortgage and things like that, he would go and see some of these people personally and say, listen, Vito, I want to rent your garage. And he found out the guy's mortgage payment was $48 a month. So he would say, I'm going to give you $50 a month to rent your garage to prevent you from losing your house. So that's another one of those stories I've heard about Al Capone.
Yeah, I mean, it goes on and on, and I'm sure there's certain elements of truth to all of that kind of stuff. I mean, again, good and bad, and that's our history, and that's what we live with.
You know, one of the things I really want to touch on, too, because I'm going to be doing the gangster story of Chicago, but I'm doing something that's nobody's ever done, and I don't want to let the cat out of the bag, but after the St. Valentine's Day Massacre, you know, the bodies, literally, some of them were almost cut in half because of the Tommy gun that was an assault weapon back in the day. The country was so outraged that something like that happened. Within 1 year, they banned the Tommy gun from not only personal use, but military use. They banned the Tommy gun, period. I wish we had the balls to do things like that today, because of some of this assault stuff. You know, Sandy Hook is one of the things that, really irritates me, and nothing has changed. But that being said,
you know, what I was thinking, I'm going to change the subject a little bit and get to something that a little nostalgia here that people might be able to relate to. Burma Shave.
Okay.
You know, I think some of those old Burma Shave slogans and stuff, I think, are really quite fun for people to think. You say the word Burma Shave, and virtually all the old-timers know what it is. Of course, you don't find them anymore. Burma Shave Company doesn't exist, to my knowledge. But, you know, it was one of the best advertising gimmicks that that there ever was. And just briefly, the way that worked, there were six signs, and they were about 100 paces apart, which is about 300 feet. And supposedly, a car going at 35 miles an hour would take 3 seconds to go between from the first sign to the last sign, which is 18 seconds then. And you would never have your attention on an ad in a magazine or a billboard for 18 seconds. That's pretty remarkable, isn't it, when you think about that? And every one of their slogans would always have Burma Shave at the end of it. And so many people remember different slogans is what I find when I take them on out. Oh, have you heard this one? Have you heard that one? It's so cute.
Hey, tell the people what Burma Shave was. I mean, come on.
Well, that's true. There's a lot of people maybe could be listening. In the early days, in order to shave, you had to have a mug and a bar of soap and a brush. And you worked up a lather. That's how you would get the shaving cream. But Burma Shave, hey, it came in a jar, and all you had to do was scoop some out and rub it on your face or whatever, and you could shave. That's how revolutionary it was. I mean, it sounds so silly now, but that's what it was then. And so in order to get this new product out there, they couldn't just say that. And you remember, they didn't have advertising like we do now. So they put these signs out, and people just started reading. As soon as you start reading, you knew there was going to be Burma Shave. You had Burma Shave on the mind. I mean, little things, it would be like past schoolhouses. Take it slow. Let the little shavers grow. Burma Shave. And it would always have a little message to it, or don't stick your elbow out so far. Might go home in another car. Burma Shave. And they went on and on like that. And people looked forward to seeing advertising. How often have you looked forward to see advertising? You know, really remarkable, isn't it?
That was, I remember as a little kid growing up, and if we ever traveled anywhere, I remember the signs on the roads. Lady Bird Johnson was the one that stopped all of that, and it took a piece of Americana away when they stopped having those. I remember barns being painted with advertisement and all kinds of stuff. In fact, restaurants and all of that were always on signs on the side of the road.
Sure, there was always that. That was the Highway Beautification Act, and that's another subject entirely. But, you know, I've got here, too, I think just something that's kind of interesting, the way that maps and travel, you know, 1926, Route 66 began. And, I mean, that wasn't really that long ago. But travel, people didn't know how to travel. So what they had to do, Rand McNally was a map maker at that time. So in 1926, Rand McNally came out with a guidebook on things worth knowing if you're going to be traveling on one of these new hard roads. And nowadays, you wouldn't even think of that. But some of them was, for example, says to keep your windshield clear of mist on rainy days, rub it with the sliced onion in an up and down motion. And that's something you needed to know in 1926. And, of course, I still travel with an onion all the time, don't you? Of course, I'm sure you do. And here's another thing. Directly out of the Rand McNally book, 1926, here's what it says. Women drivers of motor vehicles should be given special consideration in watching. I didn't say that. Rand McNally said that in 1926. I think this is so interesting to look back at that kind of stuff as opposed to traveling nowadays, isn't it?
Love it, man. Tell me the story about the flat tire. And this is, I don't know if you know this or not, but I'm going to add to it. Well, you do
okay.
Know it.
Well, the story, once again, I tell the stories as I heard them, and they may be changed or modified, but there's an element of truth each one. The way I understand it, it was a rainy day on old Route 66, two-lane road, and it was this car off to the side of the road, And obviously it had a flat tire, and also obviously the people inside didn't know what to do about it. You didn't have cell phones and things then. And a car from the locals pulls up behind and says, "Hey, folks, what's the matter?" "Well, we got a flat tire. Don't know what to do. Could you call some help?" He says, "No, we don't need to do that. I'll change the tire for you." And he did. In the rain that day, he changed that tire for these people in this car. And he said, "Well, how much do we owe you?" And he said, No, we don't charge for anything like this." And they said, well, what's your name? Where are you from?" And this old farmer gave his name and says, "I'm from Odell, Illinois." And off they go. Well, about 3 weeks later, there was a knock on the door of the farmer's house. It was a delivery truck delivering one of those fang-dangled new things called a television set, a gift from the Nat King Cole family.
And tell us about the song, Route 66.
Nat King Cole, actually the song, Get Your Kicks on Route 66, is one of three reasons 66 is so popular. But in 1946, Bobby Troup wrote that song. And Nat King Cole was a popular singer, and he thought, well, he would be a good one to try this song and do it. Now, the way I understand it is that he is the one that changed the wording from Get Your Kicks on Route 66. He changed it to Get Your Kicks on Route 66. And Bobby Troup said, well, that was okay with him. And he recorded the song. And as a result, though, it was Nat King Cole's first number one hit. And on top of that, I think there's been something like 157 performers that have now recorded that song. And that makes it the number two most recorded song of all time, beat out only by White Christmas.
You know what, John? We're coming to the end of the show again. You know what? I want to mention one thing. Your wife was a big factor in doing what you do. You want to do a little tribute to your wife that passed away from cancer?
Well, she passed away from cancer, and like so many other families have to put up with that. Isn't that sad? But, yeah, she passed away 7.5 years ago. She was my partner in this, and we all missed her, and a lot of people remember. A couple of towns have put trees up and plaques for her. And we do have a car show on Memorial Day weekend in Odell at the old historic gas station that she helped to restore. And all monies that we get, every penny we take in, we give it to a cancer organization in Mokena, Illinois.
You know what? I'm going to post something on my website. We're coming to the close of another show. John, you are great. I love you. John Weiss, the Illinois historian of Route 66 on Chicago History and Automotive Heaven. Thank you again for being with us. We'll be talking soon. I want to go on that tour of yours out of Joliet in October, so I'll be contacting you about that.
Okay, Richard, great talking to you.
All is forsaken when toll is taken. Hell's bells ringing in my ears.
Thank you, Richie.
All right.